to remember that even in impossible situations, God is able to work in every single one of our lives. You know, this morning, of course, this is our Easter Sunday service, and we're so grateful that you've come to be with us today and to worship with us. And over these next few moments, I just want to share a couple of things that I believe can really impact your life. On this Sunday morning, we're starting here in our church, we're starting a new series, and the name of this series is How to Turn a Bad Day into a Good Day. How many of you ever had a bad day? Right? I think all of us here, some of us are able to say that, you know, I've actually had a bad year, maybe even a bad decade. Others can say I've had a bad life. A bad day is not just limited to 24 hours. A bad day could be any amount of time. And, you know, in those testimonies we just watched, we saw these people who were having a bad day. They were going through a difficult time in their life. But as we go through this series, we're going to introduce it today. But as we go through it, we're going to look at the cross, because it was on the cross that Jesus was having a bad day. And Jesus was going through that day. But yet on the cross, there were seven things that Jesus said. And those seven things, what I believe, that turned a bad day into a good day. And irregardless today of how bad your day may be going, how difficult your life may seem, I want you to leave this place to know today knowing that God can turn a bad day into a good day. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
You see, God is able to do things that we can only imagine. He's able to do things that we can't even imagine, because he is so powerful, he is so mighty. In those three stories, we saw the testimonies of these people who are going through impossible situations, things that, according to the world's point of view, might have been sealed, done, delivered. There's no hope. But they were able to find hope through the power of God in their life. God can do the impossible. You see, last Friday, we had our Good Friday service. And as I was thinking about that, we call that service a Good Friday. And I was thinking, that's so odd that we would call the Friday that our Savior was crucified, the Friday that he was tortured, he was beaten, he was bruised. We look at that as a Good Friday. And the reason is because we understand today that it was on that day that we received our salvation. It was on that day that Jesus died as a sacrifice for you and for me. But today is Sunday. And we call Sunday in the church world, we'll say it's Resurrection Sunday. And we celebrate on this Sunday because this is the day that we celebrate that Jesus rose from the dead. But I think there's one day that we forget about, and that's Saturday, the in-between. And I was thinking about that Saturday. You see, Jesus died, it was a Friday, and before the sun went down, before the Sabbath, they took his body down in that evening. And I think about, there was his family, his friends, his followers. And they were looking to Jesus, not as the savior of their soul. They were looking to Jesus as the savior, as the nation of Israel. They were under the Roman rule, and they were believing that Jesus was going to be their next king, and he was going to deliver them. And all of a sudden, here's their hope. Here's their friend, their teacher, even their brother or their son, and he's hanging on the cross, and he's dying. And I can imagine that they would have been in a state of shock. And that night, they probably fell asleep crying in a state of shock. They woke up Saturday morning. And in Saturday morning, I think the reality began to settle in. You see, we look at the story today from the perspective of knowing how it ends. It's a lot different looking at it that way than being right in it. And here they are. They didn't know how it was going to end. They didn't know that he was going to be risen from the dead. They thought it was over. They could see that there was no hope. Jesus is gone. He's dead. He's buried. He was beaten to a pulp. There's no hope in life. And I think a lot of times there are many of us, and you may be here this morning, and you're stuck in that Saturday. You see, the tragedy has happened. You're going through that difficult time in your life. And today, you're here, and you just say, I can't see any hope. I can't see any hope for my marriage. I can't see any hope for my children. I can't see any hope for my finances, for my health, for my life. There's no hope. But I want you to know that there's a Resurrection Sunday right around the corner. If we learn how to trust in God. You see, that day, that Friday, could have easily been one of the worst days. But what was a worst day, God turned into one of the best days. And today we celebrate what Jesus did. We celebrate the cross. Not because we're crazy, not because we like seeing people tortured. We celebrate because we understand that it was at that moment that God changed not just our lives, but the life of every single person who accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. As I was thinking about it, in fact, there are a lot of people that had a bad day in the Bible. You know, one of the first people I think of was Joseph. Joseph, here was this young boy who had a bunch of older brothers, and Joseph was favored by his father. His father loved him because he was one of the young, you know, when his father was older, he had a young son, and so he favored Joseph. Joseph had a dream, and in that dream, he saw that his brothers and his family were bowing down to him. He shared it to his older brothers, and they were not happy about that. And they didn't like Joseph, especially since his father favored him. And one day, Joseph was going to check up on his brothers, and they seen him coming from afar off. And their brothers began to talk and said, "Here comes this dreamer. Here comes this guy. Let's kill him. I'm sick and tired of Joseph." You see, to be betrayed by someone hurts, but to be betrayed by your family is especially painful. So he's going to be murdered. One of the other brothers talks him out of it and says, "Look, why don't we just sell him or throw him in the pit?" So they throw him in the pit. And while that happens, the slave traders come by. The brothers think, "Hey, let's make some money. Why don't we sell him into slavery?" So Joseph is betrayed by his brothers. He's sold into slavery. And he goes into the house of a man by the name of Potiphar. And he becomes a slave in Potiphar's house. And of course, God is with Joseph. He starts running the house. And Potiphar's wife has feelings for Joseph. And she begins to go after him. Joseph will not respond in the way that she wants. And so she ends up getting upset. And she begins to accuse Joseph of trying to rape her. So Joseph, from being a slave in Potiphar's house, gets thrown into prison. From bad, it gets to worse. And he's in the prison now. And now he's a prisoner. Of course, God is with him. And there he's in the prison. He starts running the prison. But you know, one of the things about Joseph is this, is that although Joseph was having a bad day, and can I tell you that his bad day lasted for about 14 years. He was having a bad day. He never forgot the promises of God. He never turned his back on God. He never cursed God. You see, he was faithful to God. He still believed that God had a plan for his life. And we find that in Joseph's situation, there was one morning that he woke up in a jail cell, but through the intervention of God in his life, that night he put his head down in the palace, second in command of all of Egypt. And God was able to use Joseph to save nations from the famine that came, to save not only nations, but to save his own family by having food for them because they were starving. God was able to turn what was bad into something that was good. In fact, Joseph, when his brothers came and when his brothers discovered who Joseph was, they thought that Joseph was going to get revenge on them. And Joseph said in Genesis 50, verse 20, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good." I'm glad today that God isn't limited by our human intentions or the devil's intentions. God can take what is intended for evil in your life, and God can turn that around for good. Can I get an amen from that? You see, just because someone set out to destroy you doesn't mean they're going to get away with it. God is able to turn things around. And God turned Joseph's bad day into a good day because Joseph stayed faithful to what God's call was for his life. I want you to remember that. You know, another person in the Bible that was having a bad day was a man by the name of Job. Job was a man who was very wealthy. He had lots of animals. He had children. He was a blessed man. In fact, the Bible says that there was no one on the face of earth at that time who loved God like Job did. And yet Job experienced a bad day. Because in one day, Job, in fact, in like an hour, Job lost his children. He lost his wealth. He lost all of his servants. And he lost his health. In that one moment, Job's life turned. He was experiencing a bad day. You know, sometimes we think that we're getting paid back from God because we might have done something bad. You know, we in Hawaii, we call that bachi. You know, we think, "Oh, I know I shouldn't have done that. Now, it's getting back." My kids will always say that. You know, but when I think of the story of Job, It always amazes me because God doesn't say, Satan, why don't you test Job because he's a real jerk and I've been wanting to get him. This is what God says. Look, there's no one else like my servant Job. Nobody loves me like Job does. Why don't you test him? Doesn't that mess with our theology? Because sometimes we think, well, if I serve God, everything's going to be good. No, when you serve God, everything might get really tough. And here's the reason why. It's the tests that bring out the best in us. You know, when I was a kid, I remember seeing an infomercial. And it was, even as a child, I just thought, this is one of the silliest things I've ever seen in my life. And what they had was a machine that you would put on, and while you sleep, it would vibrate, and it says that it would build muscle. And if you saw that commercial and you bought that, don't tell anybody. But I remember seeing that. That was one of the most ridiculous things ever. I'm like, if people believe that, we really are in trouble as a nation. And here's the reason why. You're not going to grow muscle by putting something on and letting it shake. You're going to have to get out there, and you're going to have some resistance on those muscles so those fibers tear so they rebuild stronger. And that's just the way it is. You're going to have to get into the gym. You're going to have to put the work in to have our physical body grow. You're going to have to push it. And it's the same thing spiritually in our life. In order for us to grow spiritually, we're going to have to be tested. We're going to have to push through the difficult moments. The Bible says that it's the testing of our faith that produces patience. If you ever say, God, give me more patience, be careful, because you're going to get some more tests. Because it's the tests that produce patience. And you know, I believe God wants to see the best in our life. And we're going to have to go through some tests. We're going to have to go through some difficult things to begin to develop the character in us. Remember, it's the tests that gives us our testimonies. You want to have a good testimony? Get ready for some big tests. We saw three great testimonies. You know what? They went through some big tests. But it's the test that brings a testimony. Job was going through a big test. And we see that in that moment of his life, Job never cursed God. It also says he didn't sin. He didn't curse God. He didn't turn his back on God. And do you know that God turned Job's bad day into a good day? We find that Job was more blessed at the end of his life than he was at the beginning. I don't know about you, but I want to be more blessed at the end than I am at the beginning. Amen. And God can do that. He can turn the bad day into a good day. God restored. Job had more children. Job had more money than ever before. He had more flocks than ever before. God increased him because Job made it through the bad day. He knew that God would be faithful. He trusted in the Lord, even in the most difficult times of his life. Paul and Silas. We see the story of Paul and Silas. Here they are walking to the temple, minding their own business. And there's this young lady that's following them around. This lady was filled with an evil spirit. And what she was she was a slave girl. And her owners were using her to give fortunes to people. And she was following around Paul and Silas saying, these are the servants of the Most High God. Finally, they got tired of it. They turned around. They cast that evil spirit out of her. Her owners, seeing that they had just lost their source of revenue because now she was set free. So they were upset. So they had Paul and Silas flogged, beaten, and whipped and thrown into jail. And there they were sitting locked up in chains in prison. Now, I'm not going to make believe that I'm extra spiritual, and I think neither will you, but could we all agree that if we were having a bad day like that, if we were whipped, if we were beaten, and we were sitting in jail tied up, we probably wouldn't feel like singing a praise and worship song. I mean, you wouldn't feel like singing a happy song. I don't think you're going to want to be sitting there, your back ripped open, in a filthy prison surrounded by criminals, and sing, I'm running, I'm chasing after all that you are. I mean, really. But the Bible says this, that Paul and Silas, they were locked in jail, and in the midnight hour, they began to sing a song of praise to the Lord. You know, in your bad day, our natural reaction is going to be to complain, to speak words of negativity, to look at the negative outlook at life. But you know what we need to do in our bad days is remember the goodness of God, to begin to declare God's goodness, to to sing that praise and worship. And here's the reason why: our praise and worship has nothing to do with the situation we're in. It has everything to do with God, with what God has already done in our life. No matter how bad life is, God is always good. Look at your neighbor and say, we serve a good God. And Paul and Silas, there they were. They began to sing, they began to praise. And what happened is that the earth shook, the prison shook, the chains fell off, not only their hands, but the hands of everyone in the jail. The doors were open, they were set free. God turned a bad day into a good day. You know, this morning, as bad as the day that you may be facing in your life today, I think we can all agree that Jesus was having a bad day as he was faced with his death. There in the garden, Jesus prayed. And he was praying to the Father. He was saying, if there is any other way, let this cup pass. If there's any other way for redemption to come to the race of humanity, God, may that way be done. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And here's the reason why, is that although Jesus was God on earth, he was also human on earth. He was in a human body, a body just like yours, like mine. And he would feel pain. Don't think today that Jesus didn't feel the suffering. He felt the suffering. He knew what was going to come. He knew what lied ahead. And he said, Father, if there's any other way. We find that he prayed that prayer more than once. And it was in the garden that it says that he began to sweat like drops of blood. There's a rare medical condition that occurs when people under great stress, usually faced with the prospect of losing their life, it says where they will begin to sweat blood from their bodies. Jesus sweat blood. We talked about that on our Good Friday service. He shed blood in the garden. What did he do? He redeemed our will. He said, not my will be done, but let your will be done. You know, today, when we're having a bad day, the best thing we can say is, God, let your will be done in my life. Amen. Not to say what we want to say, not to respond in the way that we want to respond, because when we're angry, we're probably going to mess up. But it's to say, God, let your will be done in my life. God, let your will be done in my marriage. Let your will be done in my family, in my finances, in my job. God, let your will be done. You see, Jesus was having a bad day. And it was on that day we see that he was beaten. He was tortured. He was bruised, whipped, humiliated, falsely accused. He was betrayed, pierced with a spear, pierced with nails. And he was hung on a cross to die. Our Savior suffered for us. As I said earlier, Good Friday. That's the day we call Good Friday. We don't call it Black Friday. We all know when Black Friday is. And I think it's called Black Friday because your bank account just looks like a black hole after Black Friday. We call that Good Friday. And although it doesn't make sense, that's the day when we remember Jesus being crucified. The day when we remember the suffering, the torture, and death, and yet we call it good. And here's the reason why. Because it seemed on that day that was the worst day. One of the worst days for anyone ever to live. When it seemed on that day when everything was coming to an end. When it seemed on that day that there was going to be no more hope here on this world. God turned it around. What the devil intended for evil, God intended for good. In fact, the Bible tells us that if the devil would have known what was going to come about by the death of Jesus Christ on that day, he would have never put Jesus on the cross. I could imagine all of hell cheering and rejoicing because here was this man that tortured them for all this time. And now they were going to get rid of him. And there must have been celebration going on in hell. But what was intended for evil, God turned around for good. Can I tell you today, you might be facing what you think is the worst day of your life, the biggest mountain in your life. You might be facing a time when you think it's impossible for your marriage or anything in your life to ever recover, and it looks like all hope is gone. But I want you to know today, walk out of this place knowing that God can turn what seems as the worst, hopeless day in your life into a good day. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. You know, God can do more than you can ever ask or think. One of the things we encourage people in our church to do is dream big. You say, well, there's nothing much happening in my life. Well, maybe you're thinking too small because God's doing more than you're thinking. So begin to think even bigger, because as big as you go, God will always go beyond. He's able to do above and beyond what you can ask and you can think. Begin to dream big for your marriage. Dream big for your finances. Dream big for your children, because God can do above and beyond. At times, the breakthrough, it may take 14 years like it did for Joseph. At other times, it might be like Paul and Silas in one day. But irregardless, I believe that God is faithful. He is faithful to work in your life. He can turn a bad day into a good day. He can turn a bad life into a good life. He can turn a bad marriage into a good marriage, a bad future into a good future. How does it happen? It happens through the miracle working power of God. The miracle working power of God. As we saw just a few moments earlier in those testimonies, that was the miracle working power of God. You know, Ape shared how his spine at that angle, what happened? It straightened up. That was the miracle working power of God. What was intended for evil, God can turn around and intend for good. In Luke 18, 27, we're reminded that what's impossible for people is possible for God. And we have got to start thinking that way. We have to start confessing that in our life. God is able. Let me just close with this verse this morning, Romans 8, 11. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living in you. That Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, imagine the power in that Spirit. Imagine, I mean, that's the creative power of God. When you give your life to Jesus, that Spirit begins to live in you. That Spirit, that life is living in you. And you can face the bad days, you can face the mountains, you can face the difficult times, knowing that God's Spirit is in you, having all confidence that you can speak to that mountain and God can make that mountain move. You see, it's not based on our ability. It's not based on our strength. It's based on God's power in our life today. And we have got to learn how to begin to walk in that power, to walk in that authority, to see the trials that on our own we can't do. And there's nothing wrong with admitting, I can't do it on my own. But to say, but God, with you in my life, I'm going to overcome. I am going to overcome. And I want to encourage you today to remember that God is able. Jesus didn't stay in the tomb. Jesus rose again. And I believe today that God can resurrect things in your life. The dreams that you think are dead, the marriage that you think is dead, the relationships you think is dead. It might even be your body that you think is dead. God can resurrect those things. The dreams, the plans that he has for your life can be resurrected again if we learn how to trust in him. He can turn that bad day into a good day. There's one thing I learned in life is that with God in our life, there's always a happy ending. There's always a happy ending. You might say, well, Evan, I don't feel very happy right now. Well, if you just said that, I want you to know you're still alive, so it ain't over. You didn't come to your end yet. But with God, there's always a happy ending. In the race of life that we live, there is no first, second, or third place. As long as you don't quit, you win. All there is win. If you don't quit in life, you win. And I want to encourage you today. You might have come in thinking, this is a bad time of my life. There's no hope in my life. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Have faith in God. That just like he did in Jesus' life, just as he did in the testimonies that we saw today, he can turn it around for you. God is no respecter of person. What he can do for others, he can do in your life today. Amen. Won't you bow your hearts with me this morning? And I'd like for you to take a few moments and just say quietly to yourself, God, what are you speaking to my heart this morning through this message? What are you speaking to my life? Maybe you've lost faith in life. You've lost hope. It's been a bad year. Maybe a bad month. But God, I pray today, Lord, that our faith will be renewed. Not our faith in ourselves, but our faith in you. Lord, that we can leave this place knowing today, God, that you can turn bad days, you can turn the worst days into good days. God, that we can end our life in more blessing than what we've began our lives. That God, you can do exceedingly above and beyond anything that we can ever ask or think. What's impossible for us is possible with you. You know, the first step in seeing a bad day turned into a good day is stepping into a relationship with Jesus Christ. I've spoken with people. People have said, well, when this chapter of my life is done, or when I get this done or that done, then I'll make my life right with God. The problem with that is that we don't have next year promised to us. We don't have next week promised to us. I'm reminded of about 2 years ago. I remember being at home and hearing the reports, turning on the television, and there with my family, we watched on the news as this giant wave began washing over Japan. And I remember watching that. It seemed like it was something out of a movie. And as I watched it, I could see people driving their cars. I could see people trying to get away. And I looked at those people that, obviously, this is live. This is happening right now. People are entering into eternity. Over 20,000 people lost their lives on that day. And I don't think people woke up that day thinking, well, this is going to be the last sunrise that I see. I don't think people woke up thinking, well, this will be the last time I see my children, the last time I see my husband, my wife, or my parents. It was probably just like any other day. And yet, on that day, their lives ended. On that day, they entered into eternity. We don't have the future promised to us, but I believe that God has given you this opportunity right now, here in this place, to make things right with Him. We don't know when our life is going to end, but today, we can make the decision to accept what Jesus did on the cross. See, there are a lot of people who say, well, I'm a good person.